Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, it's listing your boy number 252. We need to pay Trevor Strong each week to be like 252 strong, one of those.
Oh, he would take it too, Sean.
I know he would. He's very talented. He's so good. But guys, this is Fightful Wrestling. It is May 4th. I will plug the just wealth of content that we have this week soon enough. Deonna Purrazzo, Moose, the first interview with Persia Perota after her release. Tons of that this week. Under Siege, WrestleMania Backlash, we got previews, we got reviews, but we're here to talk wrestling news with Jimmy Van. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. And of course, since we're here to talk wrestling news, why don't I start by plugging my non-wrestling project, because, you know, that's what I do. So knowyournews.com is my new project. It's about news stories that are funny, stupid, and weird. It's kind of a takeoff of the old stupid people that we used to do on this podcast. Tuesdays, I do a podcast called Know Your News Tonight with different guests. This week, it's Denise Salcedo. First time I ever had a conversation with Denise, and she's the perfect guest for that kind of content, Sean.
She's great. I want to be on there with her sometime.
You mentioned, yeah, for that kind of content, I don't know if you get better than Denise, so it was really good. Tomorrow, May 5th, we are scheduled to have the first edition of a new podcast with Kate and Alex called Get the Flick Out of Here, or Get the Flick Out of Here, or however the hell Alex wants to pronounce it. They're going to review films and TV shows that are funny, stupid, or weird, and weird. So check that out, knowyournews.com or youtube.com/knowyournews. My first goal was 100 YouTube subs. We hit that. My next goal is 1,000 YouTube subs so we can monetize. So that's the goal. It's fun, man. It's fun.
I love doing it. You'll get to see a lot of Fightful personalities over there. I had a blast doing that show. It was so much fun, and I look forward to doing it again in the future. Check it out, guys. This is something that Jimmy cares an awful lot about. And let me tell you, there are not many things that he cares much about at all. So
in life.
So you know he's gonna put some resources into it. But we want you to put resources into us here. So leave a thumbs up, donate a super chat or a humper chat. I know some of you are first-time viewers. Super chats are on youtube.com/fightful. Humper chats are over at humperchats.com. And wow, I just saw a monster one from Drew Nicholas, who sent a $100 humper chat. We're going to address this on multiple shows, but he says, here's monies for you. You deserve it. Grapsity Gang and Kate are perfect additions to this show. I wish there was a podcast of all you people every week. Well, I mean, we do like collaborative things here and there. I'll see to it that a couple of those people you mentioned get a cut of this monster humper chat, but you can send humper chats before shows go on the air, like Drew did. So if you want to send one for tonight's AEW broadcast, we had somebody this morning at 8 a.m. that already sent one in. So that's the benefit of humper chats over at humperchats.com. And we are very much publicly funded. So thank you all very much for that. And Drew, thank you. You are a big part of Fightful as well, and your support is integral and important, and we treasure each one of you. Sean Breslin says to Hillbilly Jim's theme, don't go messing with a dirt sheet boy, a dirt sheet boy, a dirt sheet boy. And he says, thoughts from both of you on Taylor Serrano. Well, Jimmy, it's interesting that he asked that.
Ironic.
Because we were talking about that today. I edited an article and
forgot about it.
Forgot about it because we do a lot of that stuff, but
yeah.
WWE made some coin off of Serrano and Taylor.
I hit up Sean this morning because, Sean, you know where my mind goes. When I see stories like that, I want to know, did the talent get a cut? That's just kind of where my head goes.
And sure.
I saw a news story about that fight that he's talking about. It was the first time ever that a women's boxing fight headlined a card at Madison Square Garden. So obviously it was monumental in a lot of ways. Jake Paul was one of the promoters. It was last weekend, and DAZN aired it, and they partnered with WWE. And so Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair were at the pressers. Becky was awesome. Bianca's good too, but Becky's in her element in that world, in character. So they did a really good job. WWE also promoted it on their social media, and they got a reported little under $500,000, according to Sportico, for their participation. So, yeah, I hit up Sean Ross Sapp, and I said, what did Becky get out of that? Did she see anything, or was just padding the pockets?
I'll find out.
Yeah, because
sure.
I was curious. Now, obviously, there's a lot of value to their social media, maybe even more so than having Becky and Bianca there, but still.
There are a lot of variables right now. Like, wrestling is a changing thing. It's almost like a 96 type of contract change, because we hear of these people getting these insane amounts of money. Like, we're talking like 3-4 million we're hearing that people are getting, and it's an insane amount. The funny thing is, Jimmy, when the Good Brothers got 700K each and Revival were offered 850K each, 3 years ago, we were like, this is an insane amount of money that they're getting now. We don't know how downsides work into that. We don't know how bonuses, discretionary or non-discretionary, house shows, if at all, revenue cuts from anything else. I'm still working to find a lot of that out, but that is a constantly evolving thing, because pro wrestling is constantly evolving, as are the contracts. I mean, these deals look categorically different than they did 3 years ago when there was a huge talent war, and still is a huge talent war, which we'll get into, but things are changing, and I hope they saw a cut of it. It makes sense. I think it's brilliant of WWE and DAZN to do that. One, DAZN and WWE have a nice relationship, but why wouldn't you take people who are going to go out of their way to find out, hey, what the hell is Becky and Bianca involved in? What are they involved in? Oh, the two hottest women's wrestlers in the game are going to promote Taylor Serrano. Maybe I'll check out this huge women's boxing match. It made a lot of sense to me.
Sure. Also Jake Paul's association, because WWE and the Pauls have a relationship, and Paul was one of the promoters. So that all kind of makes sense too. And that leads me to another story I want to ask you about, since we're on this topic. There are reports that Jake Paul is looking to do an exhibition fight. Keywords, exhibition fight with Iron Mike Tyson. And, you know, they claim it would be massive money if that fight were to happen. There's also talk about maybe Jake Paul and Michael Bisping. Yeah. So I was going to say, when I see the words exhibition fight, that tells me it's going to be unsanctioned. That tells me Mike's not going to get tested. That means Mike's going to treat it like a sparring session.
Are you implying that Mike Tyson would need to be tested for anything? Because that's stupid.
I would never suggest Mike should be tested for anything, but that's how he would look at it. You remember the Roy Jones fight? He could have dropped Roy Jones a half a dozen times in that fight.
Yeah.
And he chose not to do it. And so I'm guessing that with Jake Paul, it'd be the same. He has a shot for an opportunity for a headshot. Mike's not going to take it. And so my question for you is, how much interest do you think there would be Jake Paul, Mike Tyson? And Mike Tyson is still a very newsworthy guy.
A ton, even if it's an exhibition.
Yeah,
because there are a lot of people, the casuals are a thing in boxing. 100% they're a thing in boxing. I'm not buying that they're that much of a thing in wrestling, but in boxing they are. And there's a ton of casuals that will order that, not knowing, well, you can't throw punches to the head, whatever rule set there may be. They ain't paying attention to that. They're hearing that Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are going to fight, and that's it. And you know what? That's probably what a lot of them are banking on. And
I mean, that's exactly why when I told you Mike was going to smoke up, you belittled me. You were insulting.
Rob Wilkins says, would we bring out back Fightful Watch Along? Yes, we would. I thought about doing it this weekend. I'll be at Under Siege, and Denise will be out of town. So I wanted Steven to cover Under Siege. So we're not doing it for this badass UFC card this Saturday. DraftKings Sportsbook, use the code FIGHTFUL, but we would bring it back. We're probably going to bring it back for most of the Jake Paul stuff, because Jimmy, the reality is people care when he fights. That's it. People care when he fights.
Yeah. They want to see him lose. And there's nothing wrong with that. Floyd Mayweather made a career off that. And did you know Floyd Mayweather's fighting soon?
Yeah, I did. I got the fight notification.
Yeah.
The fight TV notification of it about him
fighting Saudi Arabia. Him. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that money's getting, I was like, why hasn't there been much promotion for it? It's like, he doesn't care. He's doing it in Saudi.
Absolutely. Doesn't give a shit. Guaranteed payday. And the Saudis only care about the perception, you know, for them kind of thing. So it doesn't really matter. But
yeah.
All right. Let's talk budget cuts in contrast, because there's such a contrast here between companies and so just a lot of, as you like to say, Sean, a lot to unpack here. That's what Sean Rossap likes to say. So in WWE, okay, you got Mustafa Ali. He's sitting at home for months. He requested his release. They denied him. They finally bring him back to TV. Looks to me like he's being set up not to succeed. It doesn't look to me like he's going to come out ahead in this whole program with Theory and Miz, but that's just kind of my opinion. You got Roderick Strong. You reported that he requested his release. They denied him. Meanwhile, they released 10 people from NXT citing the infamous budget cuts, including people who had been used, you know, if not currently, then recently on television. Dakota Kai, Malcolm Bivens, Dexter Lumis, Persia Parada, Harland, who was like a big protege or whatever. And at one point, they released 10 people. I can't help but think it's a bad look on WWE's part when you refuse to grant releases to some, especially when you're not hardly using them, but then you release others that you are using due to budget cuts. What's your take on the whole thing and you know, the latest say on somebody like a Roderick Strong?
So to correct the Mayweather thing, it's in Dubai.
Oh, Dubai.
On okay. The top of like a helicopter thing. But I got invited to Dubai this week. I'll tell you more about that this week. But the releases. So I got a lot of feelings. I went on a rant on Sour Graps this week. I hopped over on Fightful Select and did a bit of a rant there. I get that things have changed. NXT to NXT 2.0. Persia told me she got signed well before 2.0. A lot of people just didn't realize it because she debuted on 2.0. Doesn't matter. She fit in great. She was wonderful. Looked like $1 million, could do the work, had experience, but still had that athletic like height, the model looks, a lot of that stuff. She fit in. She did well. Malcolm Bivens, you're going to tell me you can't find something for him to do, somebody for him to enhance? Well, obviously, they did have somebody for him to enhance. They wanted him for Omos, and he said, I think I'd rather leave the company, so I'm not going to re-sign. They were trying to re-sign he and Dakota Kai like a year before their deals were up, which tells you they wanted to keep them, mm-hmm. but they didn't want to keep Dakota enough after like 6-7 dark matches to do something with her, to do anything substantial with her. So there she is. And she's gone. She'll find work. Bivens, Stokely Hathaway is the name I'd rather use since that's what he'll use. Not only will he find work, he's doing a comedy show this week that sold out. Saw that. Good on him. Good on him, which he had planned to do before that, but still doing that. Harland is one. He was fucked from the jump. You can't bring in a guy because he's got tattoos, a football background, and the same hair as Brock Lesnar and say, next Brock Lesnar.
Right.
And it wasn't just fans that said it. There were people in WWE that were saying it too. That's bad. That's stupid. That's not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this on Sour Graps. You can count on like one hand the people that are mentioned in the same conversations with one another. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey, Riddle, as people who picked it up immediately. What do all four of those have in common? They all have combat sports, legitimate backgrounds. They've bumped, they've rolled. They learned how to do moves. They learned how to pin people. They learned how to submit people. They know the foundations of pro wrestling. So to put those types of expectations on a guy like Parker, who now known as Harlan, when he came from a football background, is not composed or built or has the background of a Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And then you turn him into Hayden Snitsky. Like you do that. You make him El Hijo del Nails.
Yeah, I was going to say Nails.
It looks like Nails.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't going to win. He ain't going to do well. Yeah. I would imagine Court Bowers like looking at him saying, you want to come prove yourself? Come prove yourself here. Do what EJ and Duka did. Do what a lot of people did. So those, there are some that didn't make sense to me. There were some that did. Ultimately, NXT 2.0 now more than ever is a developmental territory. There is no question about it. It is not a third brand. It is a developmental territory. There is no argument about that like you could have had 1 year ago, Jimmy. It is. Some of those developmental talents are not going to work out. Truly, I do believe that is business. It does suck to see anybody lose their job. If I had it my way and I could run a company, I would implement the AEW method of, well, we signed you for this period of time. We'll see that out unless there's some disciplinary action. Mm-hmm. But I know that was a little long-winded.
No, it's fine. And I agree with everything you're saying. And in a minute, I'm going to talk about what Tyson Kidd said about this whole thing, developmental territory thing. But I want to go over to AEW first because it was inevitable that as you're signing guys and signing guys and signing guys, and they were giving everybody 3-year contracts when they started, contracts are going to come due. You can't keep everybody. And there are some, you know, say anti-AEW people that are trying to use that against them, saying, oh, I thought this was the pro talent company. You can't keep everybody. And so now we're starting to hear Marco Stunt's wasn't renewed. Joey Janela, Jack Evans, Stu Grayson, you just reported, is gone, at least for now. Cody Rhodes, of course, the big jump to WWE. We're going to keep seeing that. Because they can't continue signing guys and re-signing their existing guys. So we're going to keep seeing this happen. And that's just business. That's all it is.
I think they could have handled a lot of that a lot better, too. Joey Janela and Marco Stunt should not have been ghosted by AEW. That's what talent relations is for, even if it's not Tony Khan himself. I mean, do you expect Vince McMahon to keep in touch with every single WWE talent? No.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, Sean. I've heard that Chris Daniels is in talent relations. Was he in talent relations before Marco and those guys, or was he put into talent relations as a response to them not having anybody to handle a Marco and a Janela?
He was before, but he was also able, he was a point guy for a lot of people in ROH. There were a lot of people that were booked for Supercard that had no idea if they were still supposed to show up to work. Mm. And they had to get a hold of Christopher Daniels. I believe Denise did. I think she had to get a hold of him to say, hey, am I still booked for this job or not? But Marco Stunt should not have been ghosted. Joey Janela should not have been ghosted. That should not happen. I'm of the belief you use those people until their deal is up, have them put over people on the way out. There's nothing wrong with that. Like completely embarrassing somebody would be one thing, but I thought the handling of Marco Stunt was bad. They took him off TV after he got that concussion. They never brought him back to TV. They never followed up with him. He tried to contact him. He said, give me an opportunity to prove myself. Joey Janela, I think, would have been a great fit for the modern Ring of Honor. I think he would have been really good for that. Stu Grayson, they wanted to keep him, from what I understand. It just hasn't worked as of yet. Some people are still hopeful. Mm-hmm. Anything's possible. But he, if you all haven't seen him work in a singles capacity, seek it out because he's amazing. He would have been great for the modern Ring of Honor. He cut a promo. It was very work shoot on Hangman saying, you get all the glory. I hang out in catering. He's like, you get to do what I want to do all the time. You get to wrestle big matches on TV. So I look at that and I'm like, yeah, that could have been handled a little bit better. Jack Evans, he was off TV for a little bit, but you always got to wonder what the hell's up with Jack Evans, man. Like he was one of the things that got me to watch Ring of Honor, but Angelico staying, Evil Uno staying. Yeah.
Wasn't Jack Evans stuck in Mexico during lockdown?
For a little bit. And then he got detained a couple months ago. There's this weird situation there, but
yeah,
they need a better line of communication with their talent.
Let me ask you this question. I'm sure that there are people in NXT and in WWE walking on eggshells because it's almost expected at certain times of the year releases are going to happen. I'm sure some of them don't care,
They care. I mean, even if they're planning their exit, not to interrupt you, sorry, they care. On Good Friday, my phone was blowing up. People thought that they were getting released. There was an NXT talent who literally subscribed to Fightful Select this past week because they were fearful that they were going to get fired after the cuts. It is a constant fear in that company of cuts.
Yeah.
And I talked to Persia Perota today, Stephanie DeLander. That'll be out Friday. We'll have a ton of notes on Fightful Select for subscribers. But she remains positive, but she was like, it was always a reality in my head. Even though I was on TV featured prominently, it was always in my head and something I thought about.
That sucks. Now, AEW, is there more of a sense of calm, or is there still concern among talent, especially those whose contracts are coming up?
I don't see as much bitterness emanating from that. People know when their deals are going to be up and they get to see them through. They didn't cut Melanie Cruz or Awesome Kong, even though they didn't use them on TV. They couldn't use Awesome Kong. Melanie Cruz found a day job in the meantime, but while her contract ran up and they didn't renew it. There are others who have been taken off their full-time deals and they're on per appearance, or I don't know if any have moved to tiered. But as a result of that, yeah, I mean, it is, I don't want to say more of a sports approach, because people get cut under their guaranteed sports deals all the time. I mean, football happens all the time. People get non-guaranteed money and they're cut within that. But like baseball, basketball, it's a little bit more like that. They know when their deals are going to come up and they know that they're going to make that money regardless, and they can sort of plan for that. I wouldn't say that there's a sense of calm in that people don't think they'll be let go. People just don't think they'll be fired before they expect it there. And I usually say, well, I can't speak for an entire locker room. I can pretty well speak for an entire locker room here. I haven't heard one person of the dozens that I speak to in AEW that fear they're going to get cut before their deals. They fear that they might get taken off TV and not used, and then their deal will expire, though.
Okay, well, let's talk about a topic that's a little different: demand for more wrestling content. So Warner Media, they sent out a survey asking fans to help name an AEW show that's coming to TBS. They said it's a new behind-the-scenes wrestling series like no other. Here's a piece of writing from their thing. It said, every episode will track their core cast on the road at AEW events as they try to hold on to the titles they have or win back the ones they've lost, with everything culminating at the biggest pay-per-view event of the year. A lot of people are saying it's like Roads to the Top. I did not watch Roads to the Top, admittedly, so I can't really comment. Do you think that there is an appetite for another weekly, and I understand it's not going to be like a typical Dynamite or Raw, but do you think there's an appetite for another weekly wrestling series on television?
For some people, for that niche audience, sure. But in general, no.
Well, that then leads me to Mr. Freddie Prinze Jr., because I heard this one, Sean, and I thought, man, oh, man, the time of this one. So Freddie Prinze Jr.'s got a podcast about wrestling. And on the podcast, he said that he plans to start a wrestling company within the next 18 months. He says he wants it to be a two-hour show. The goal is to bring it to TV. He wants it to be a SAG show, which is the Screen Actors Guild, meaning it'll be a unionized show, which means that the wrestling talent, they'll get insurance and they'll get medical benefits and they'll get retirement. He says he has a 3-year plan and he is able to finance it for that 3 years. Obviously, he's got connections. You know, he's been in entertainment for decades. He was in WWE. He knows a lot of the wrestlers. He knows the business. If anyone maybe has an opportunity to make a go of it, it might be somebody like him. But do you think there's an appetite for it? Like, do you think, and I understand that there are more places for distribution when it comes to content than ever. Like, there's so many streaming services and cable networks, but is there going to be a distribution deal that will pay him enough money to be able to justify operating a wrestling company? Because you and I know, like a lot of people I'm sure know, a lot of these shows on TV, they don't make anything, you know, like, yes. Like a lot of smaller TV shows and stuff. Do you think that there's going to be a deal to be had for him, given all the wrestling content that's already out there, even though he does have a lot of connections?
2014, I remember it, maybe 2015, whatever, whenever it was that New Japan was starting to make its way into the U.S., they had the deal with Jarrett and all that stuff. You had Lucha Underground on TV. Lucha Underground got some good buzz and all that. Impact was having trouble finding a home, but they landed on Destination America, then ROH on Destination America. And then, you know, WWE and SmackDown are in these progressive talks to enhance their rights fees and all that. and Global Force Wrestling comes along. People think, oh, Jeff Jarrett's back in the game. Here we go. We got some TV. A couple years after that, Arrow Lucha comes along. Arrow Lucha's here. Oh, are they going to get some TV? Look back at those rosters. There were some good rosters there. There were, like, you look back, especially at Arrow Lucha, and you're going to be like, damn, man, if they would have got on TV, maybe it would have been good. But there wasn't the appetite for it. Lucha Underground made no money. Mm-hmm. ROH made almost nothing on Destination America. Impact made nothing. The Destination America cut it all. Impact hasn't been able to find a vast home since then. And Impact's a pretty good show. But, man, it's I don't know if there is. When we can't find one, a more expansive one for Impact or MLW, it's hard for me to believe that.
He made reference to Australia, Freddie Prinze. He said, I could start a company sooner if I wanted to, but it would mean having to go to Australia for 3 months. So that tells me that maybe he's got at least funding or something out of Australia. But I look at Freddie Prinze Jr., you know, for better or for worse, in terms of his position and everything, kind of like I do Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
Billy Corgan was a guy who's been in the entertainment business for decades. He's
no appetite for NWA either.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So Billy Corgan's got, he's got funding. He's got connections. He knows a lot of people in entertainment, and he has not been able to get a deal for the NWA. And Freddie Prinze Jr., I think it might be tough. Now, granted, he could end up, like I said, he could end up with maybe a streaming deal or maybe like a, you know, a show on like a belittling, a little cable station or something. But is it going to be able to fund your wrestling production the way that you envision it to be? That's the question. If your costs are going to be 20, 30 million a year to do the things that you want to do, is that TV deal going to fund that?
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, the wrench. Tony Khan, credit to Tony Khan, he got the TNT deal. A lot of people tried before him and couldn't do it. And obviously, again, he had a ton of connections with the Jaguars and everything. But that's the question for me is, can Freddie Prinze land a TV deal that will pay enough in rights to fund the vision that he has? Because he's talking a big game for everything that he wants to do.
And not only that, but when you have that type of platform, that opens up, okay, well, your female talent can do OnlyFans, and that provides them with a platform to make money on the side that they can't get it from NWA. Mm-hmm. Nobody's watching that shit. So nobody's going to care to do that. Wrestlers of all backgrounds have their merch stores and all that. And they've got a great deal with Pro Wrestling Tees. So they're selling merch. They've got third-party licensees. They've got a lot of that. And when you're on cable TV, you're more in demand for signings. Your indie price goes up. It's this circle of where, sure, we might not be able to pay as much as WWE does, but all things considered, you can make as much, if not more, and make your own schedule as a result. You get to dictate kind of what that is. A lot of those other places, and he's talking about finding a permanent home for it. That Impact Zone crowd used to get real tired. Look at the NXT 2.0 crowd.
I agree.
It ain't always wonderful. We got Joel Wood saying Impact's been on a downward spiral since leaving Spike as far as audience goes. Yes, they have. There is no two ways around that. Spike TV was an amazing platform for them. It could not have been a better match for TNA. Terry says, many wrestlers need steady time to grow, learn from the business, and 90 days isn't sufficient. Imagine their feeling when hearing this pressure. Yeah, they do. And I don't understand why WWE now looks down upon, well, we can pluck people who are already good and make them ours. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Samoa Joe says that the reason why WWE is changing their hiring methods, and he would know, he was a coach there, is because AEW is signing a lot of those prominent indie names. Connor says, could ROH take Dark Spot on YouTube or it will be on a TV channel? I'm sure Tony would love for it to be on a TV channel because he gets those rights fees. ROH was in a very unique position, Jimmy, that really for what they did, it couldn't have been in a better situation for the, well, they could have been in a better spot, but they aired on syndicated TV because of Sinclair. But because Sinclair owned them, they were also like, well, we don't care if you put this on your website because we want as many people to see this as possible. So like 6 days later, the show that had been syndicated was available for anybody in the world to watch. It's just nobody knew. And I would constantly repeat that on the show. Josh says, give Stokely a faction like Heyman's Dangerous Alliance. What do you think? Before the baddies got put with Jade Cargill, I would have said Jade Cargill approaches Mark Sterling and says, I'm very happy for you. Your client list is growing, but I want to be your focus, and I'm not. You can still be my lawyer, but I've got a new manager, and it's Stokely Hathaway. I think that would have been great.
I mean, Diamond Mine was good.
I liked Diamond Mine.
You know what I mean? They just nothing was given an opportunity.
Joel Wood says, it seems as if main roster cuts have slowed in WWE, but I fear NXT from now on is going to be a constant question every 3 or 4 months as to whether anybody is going to get cut. To me, that makes a little bit more sense, though, and I'm not advocating cuts to NXT, but that is the developmental territory of where you're figuring out if somebody is right for this or not. However, there were multiple people that were proven to be right for this there. Dexter Lumis had adjusted wonderfully by picking up something that he did in TNA that almost nobody saw in Dexter Lumis, the Sam Shaw character, but...
I actually think Dexter Lumis was a big mistake cutting him.
I do too.
Because the look, you know, I've talked before about how almost everybody's good in the ring now. And so you've got to find other ways to stand out because everybody can get it done in the ring.
Dexter Watch NXT 2.0, my friend.
Well, I focus fine. I know, but they're brand new. A lot of them in green, but Dexter Lumis, the look that he had with, you know, the physique, and he wore that apron and the black gloves, and he had like the old style slicked haircut, and
yeah,
he looked different than a lot of guys. I thought that was a mistake cutting him, but what do I know? They've been cutting everybody.
Davian says, any more Owen women's qualifiers happening? 4 is low. I hope so. It would make a lot of sense, but I think they should take an approach with this Owen where they don't outright tell us what the brackets are. They just tell us what the next match is. That gives them a bunch of flexibility. Also, it's why I like them doing qualifiers. Somebody kind of talked me into that over the past week. Shucky Ducky says, thoughts on ROH talent on Dark informal tryouts. They are informal tryouts. That's been the case for quite a while. Also, as we reported, Jake something is going to be on Dark. I've heard there is more ROH talent coming to Dark tapings as well. Sheila says, do you see Maria Kanellis' promotion possibly working with WOW? It could boost their women's roster and get TV exposure. No, I doubt it. I think WOW is going to exist on an island all its own. And oh boy.
Have you heard much about Maria's promotion? Because I heard they did a show and they drew like 50 people. Is that true?
I don't know what the attendance was. I mean, okay. I'm sure as people get used to it and it garners a name and all that, it's tough to start a new promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure, and an all-women's promotion with Maria behind it, I think if they run multiple shows, they'll do much better. But I don't know what the attendance was or anything like that. So, not really sure about how that is. But as far as them working with WOW, I'd be shocked. I'd be very shocked.
Okay, let's talk about the AEW TNT title because I've read differing opinions online. So Scorpio Sky and Sammy Guevara, they've been kind of hot potatoing it back and forth a few times. Mm-hmm. And there's different theories. So one of them is that Cody had the record for the most TNT title reigns and AEW wants to, you know, wipe him from the record book for that. Another theory is that they think it'll help Scorpio break out on his own as a babyface to be kind of in this program with Sammy because Sammy's clearly now heel with Tay. And then another one is the unpredictability factor. You never know what's going to happen, you know, when there's a title change. Have you heard or what are your thoughts on this kind of hot potato wing of the TNT title over the last number of weeks?
I like it because it made a lot of sense in a lot of different ways. Sammy and Tay Conti got over his heels. Scorpio got over as a baby face. You set up Tay Conti and Paige VanZant. You set up Kazarian and Scorpio Sky with a ready-made story underneath. You've got Ethan Page side-eyeing them. You've got multiple cool moments on TV, main events on TV, things that people will remember. And the next time that AEW becomes a town, they're going to be like, remember that? Remember when that happened? Let's go. Stuff happens at this show. I think it's good. What happened in pro wrestling is almost so funny. we got to the point of hot potatoing titles so much in the late 90s, early 2000s, to where it almost became taboo to do it. And then if you go back to CM Punk's reign, his year plus reign, I guarantee you there are more 1 year reigns in WWE since then than probably the 30 years before that, like dating back to the 70s. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not good. Like New Day had a great tag title reign. Walter had a great title reign as well. You had some in the mid 2000s that weren't too hot. They forgot about the cruiserweight title and the women's title sometimes. One of my favorite things of the brand split era was Charlotte and Sasha trading that title back and forth on Raw and fighting like it meant something. Because the way that they fought and the way that that title was talked about, that women's title, made me believe that they fought their heart outs for it. That's why it changed so much, because they battled each other so hard to send it back and forth. So I liked it. I thought it accomplished a lot.
Interesting. Well, you know, this weekend there's actually a WWE premium live event that no one's really cares about or talks about. And I quite frankly forgot about it until I was taking notes for the listening your boy this week. WrestleMania Backlash. I feel like there's no buzz for this thing at all. Is there anything on the show that you are looking forward to?
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Not really. Not really. No.
I'm going to take that clip and use it for other reasons, for other purposes.
I'm looking back at it. Myself and Julie Cutler did a preview of it. She's got some great insight. She's going to join me on the Double or Nothing show. Corbin and Moss, nope. AJ and Edge, nope. I bet the 6-man tag will be good, but sure.
You've seen it. You know what I mean? Like that. You've seen that style a lot.
Lashley and Omos, not excited. Rhodes and Rollins, I'm sure will be good. Flair and Rousey, I'm not that excited for that either. No, there's nothing announced. When Becky Asuka, if it gets added, I'll be excited for that. Yeah.
Maybe something with KO and Ezekiel, maybe.
I guess, maybe. It seems like a Raw match, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. You think Ronda gets the title?
Yeah, I do.
And you think Cody puts over Rollins?
He shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll stretch it out to, Matthew says, I'll be looking forward to the Super Chats and Humper Chats after the show. Yeah. let me tell you, this Monday's Raw was one of the most abysmal, as far as interest, that we've ever had since we started Super Chats. Like, people just... there's no buzz. People think they can miss the show. Yeah. And that ain't good for us, obviously. But I'm hoping Rhodes beats Rollins and then Rollins does something so horrible that it justifies Cody saying, I'll beat you again and I'll beat you in the cell because I don't want Cody to win or I don't want Cody to lose.
Yeah. Interesting. And next I want to ask you about your thoughts on the future of Drew McIntyre. And here's why I'm asking. So, okay, he's in the six-man tag at WrestleMania Backlash. Obviously, they got a program happening with Roman. Maybe it'll lead to Hell in a Cell on June 5th, or maybe they're just going to do another six-man in Hell in a Cell. Who knows what they're going to do? Tyson Fury alluded to a match with him at SummerSlam, which is on July 30th. Drew himself, in interviews, is pushing for a match with Roman at Clash of the Castle in the UK in September. So it seems like there's a lot of, is he babyface? Is he heel? Is he in the title picture? Is he out of the title picture? What do you think the future holds for Drew McIntyre? Or do you think that, you know, Vince McMahon doesn't even know?
So it's like, I don't trust WWE to run a story for 4 months until September. That's for damn sure. Unless it is Drew winning Money in the Bank after, like, Roman Reigns is trying to avoid him for months. Drew wins Money in the Bank and says, I'm cashing it in at Clash of the Castle. That I trust, but they've kept him strong. He's been winning matches. That's important to me. I think that's good. It does seem like they're setting up finally. Roman has two titles and they've got Drew and Cody. They got two legit possible challengers unless Cody starts to lose a bunch. And that's promising. Cody is a guy. I kept on saying, don't take the title off Roman unless you know there's a guy. Cody is a guy who can do that. Drew, we'll see. We'll see how crowds react to him. I wonder how that will work out and play into Clash at the Castle with the Saudi show coming up after that. Because also there's been a lot of maneuvering for Tyson Fury. And let me tell you, Tyson Fury was a bad wrestler. Also, Tyson Fury is not going to lose a wrestling match. So I think we could get Tyson Fury and Drew McIntyre. It goes to a no contest and it's Drew and Tyson against somebody else. Like as a tag team at like Saudi or something.
So maybe the match isn't interrupted. Somebody attacks Drew or Tyson or both.
Roman or one of the bloodline guys or something.
Okay. Interesting.
You could even do like Gunther in there as well. Like Gunther should factor into that Clash the Castle show.
Right. All right. Let's talk about Vince McMahon's classic left hand's not talking to the right hand. You reported that prior to Raw on Monday, and let's remind everybody that Ciampa again targeted Mustafa Ali on Raw. What's that?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, but he was in the ring on Raw this past Monday too.
Yeah.
With Mustafa, I think. So WWE did something prior to Raw, the main event taping. You reported it. Talk about it, and do you have any idea at all why they did that?
No.
Given their plans with him and Mustafa Ali.
No clue. Not an idea. I just saw the run sheet and it said Balor versus Ciampa. And I was like, what? Like when it got switched to Apollo. I was like, what? Cause him versus Balor. Sure. I mean, it'd be the biggest main event match in a long time too, but also it would be the biggest main event match in a long time. But the mere fact that those two are on main event, like, makes you wonder what the hell, because you don't get put on there by accident, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they don't. Go ahead. Sorry.
So he worked babyface against Apollo.
Yes. And then later that night, did a heel segment.
Yeah. Was in front of the same crowd.
Yep.
Is it just because?
Why are you asking me?
I'm trying to make sense of it.
Why? They're not.
I know. You're right.
I mean, when this is Denise and we're talking about storylines, I'm like, Denise, make sure that they care. Don't hold them accountable for caring. But you're like, why do they? Well, I don't know why. I don't know why. I know one thing. Whether you're a face, you're a heel, you're a tweener, doesn't really matter. You can use NordVPN.com/FightfulJimmy. There's a big UFC pay-per-view this weekend. You can subscribe to overseas service and save a lot of money. So much so it'll pay for your NordVPN service with all the money that you save. Get a great deal and an additional month free at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not only that, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee and that threat protection. Block online trackers, hackers, annoying pop-up ads, malware with NordVPN.com/Fightful, the fastest VPN in the world that is available on all your devices, phone, tablet, PC, desktop, laptop, router, TV, does not matter. NordVPN.com/Fightful is available on all of those. I use this every day. It is a lifesaver. Protect your info when you're on that unsecured Wi-Fi and you're traveling abroad. Maybe you're going to Dubai to watch that Mayweather fight on top of a helicopter pad or on top of a helicopter, whatever. NordVPN.com/Fightful works everywhere, and it changes your virtual location with just one click. Big fan of NordVPN.com/Fightful, and I'm a big fan of all these super chats. Chris says, why is Becky Lynch getting so much hate? She's a heel. That's all I got for you. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think everybody loves Becky.
KE775 says, is Triple H a man without a country now? He's in more of a PR role right now than anything. We got Joel saying, actually, it's a Ricardo saying, I'd like to know Jimmy's thoughts on the Fed's inexorable seeming to return Divas era booking of both NXT and the main roster. Basically, your thoughts on them returning to like Divas era booking.
I mean, we've talked about this for a while now. They for the most part, have gone back to 2-minute matches. And it seems like most of the women, with the exception of Becky, Bianca, Charlotte, I guess Ronda, maybe now Asuka, and Sasha, I guess, with the exception of like 5 or 6 girls, they're booked in 2-minute matches and they're made to look like idiots. And so it is what it is. I believe that Vince McMahon, he doesn't care about the women's division or the tag team division, aside from his favorites who he sees dollar signs in. Otherwise, I just don't think there's enough care with management.
Van Twinblade says, hey, Jimmy and Sean, Tony said last time AEW was in St. Louis, he'd give us something special because he had to move full gear. And at the indie shows I went to last week, people are hoping for Blood and Guts June 15th. Hearing any whispers? I'm not hearing any whispers. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but I think they'll bring a big show there. I think that that type of thing means an awful lot to Tony Khan, and he wants to make sure that his live crowds are sort of loyal to AEW, and he wants to appear in the same vein to them. So,
Sorry to cut you off. Do you think that he would book a specialty match like that, though, like 2 weeks before Forbidden Door?
Maybe. Yeah, I do. Because he does that all the time, like with pay-per-view stuff. Like, go-home shows of pay-per-views usually have a pay-per-view quality thing on it as well. We have Ryan Evans says, is there any talk of AEW changing their stage sets? The pay-per-views used to have a unique look, and that stopped. Dynamite needs a new stage, too. I have heard some talks of it, Ryan. I absolutely have. I just don't know that it will actually happen. I mean, the reality is they had about 5 months to use their Dynamite stage, and then they had to kind of switch it to whatever worked at Daly's place, so they're getting a little bit of use out of that. But I think they should light the crowd at Dynamite like they used to, because I liked being able to see people. You would see that people were like standing around drinking, having fun, like it was an experience. You could tell people like were on dates watching Dynamite. They were standing up and cheering. Like, it felt like it was more of a social thing than a lot of the wrestling shows you see, which are dimmed out and people are just sitting there and they're like, impress me.
Sure.
It was a lot of a different feel there.
You want to be able to see Hannah singing Jericho's song.
She doesn't, for sure. She doesn't want to see that. But Ricardo says, given the Fed's record of pettiness, I feel like the only reason Ali came back is because they threatened to freeze his contract and turn it into roughly 5 years. I would not be surprised by that at all.
I don't know if that can legally be done when he's the one that wants to come back. It's not like he's injured.
Sure.
I don't think that's legal. Yeah. I don't think they can do that.
Johnny says, Freddie meant he would have to go to Australia to film a movie for 3 months, which would speed up the process. There you go, Jimmy. About Freddie Prinze Jr. in Australia.
Well, how does filming a movie speed up the process of doing a wrestling company?
Because he can pay for he can afford the wrestling company. That's what he said.
His wife is an actress.
You think he's just going to say, hey, Sarah, let me fund this vanity project.
Absolutely.
With your Scooby-Doo money.
I think he would, for sure. I think
no, he said that he might have to do movies to fund this.
I figured he would get financing. I suppose it was on money.
Ryan says, "Is there any?" We read that one. Joel Wood. By the way, guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We are heading down the home stretch of the show. We will have the list goes on Fightful Select right after this. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Joel says, one of my main issues is it seems like ROH and their titles are getting more focused than some AEW titles, and that's my issue with WWE too. Too many titles at once seems like overkill for me. That's definitely understandable. The difference to me between those two is if you're a champion in AEW or ROH, you're probably not losing a lot of matches and you seem like a champion. In WWE, the stakes are minimized as opposed to, well, we've got all these titles, we better protect these people and utilize these titles. It's, well, everybody's got one, so what's it really matter? That's a big difference for me.
And somebody actually earlier, they talked about it feels like there's not going to be any more cuts on the main roster. I feel like I'm watching the same 20 people on Raw every Monday.
Yeah, meanwhile,
it's the same 20.
T-Bar and Mace can't get on TV. Aaliyah and Shotzi are barely on TV except to lose or do quick beat the clock matches. Xia Li's barely been used. Doudrop finally popping back up, but yeah.
And the 24/7 stuff is stupid. It's stupid.
It should be funny and entertaining and special, but it's stupid. It's Storm and Norm says, Dante versus Rey Fénix, Baltimore, get the hoses ready. I'm on the way. Have fun, Norm. Hope you like it. I do think, I mean, I saw people saying, oh, I can't believe they're calling this a dream match. I don't think they called it a dream match. They called it one of Dante's dream matches. Mm. And of course, Dante, a dream match for Dante, a 20-something-year-old kid would be a guy who's been tearing it up the last 7 years since Dante was like 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm cool with that.
I want to talk about foreign talent returning to Japanese soil to kind of set up the Forbidden Door show. So New Japan, they did a show called Wrestling Dontaku last week, and Jay White came back, Juice Robinson came back, the Good Brothers came back, and Forbidden Door is on June 26th. Have you heard anything yet about prospective matches for Forbidden Door? Because the only one that I've heard kind of hinted at is Matt Hardy on Twitter. He said that the Hardys have never held the IWGP tag team titles. And it just so happens that at that show last weekend, Bad Luck Fale and Chase Owens from the Bullet Club, they won the IWGP tag titles. So maybe that sets up them against the Hardys, unless they might want to go champions versus champions. Although I can't see Jurassic Park being put into that matchup. But what are your thoughts on any prospective matches for Forbidden Door? And do you think that they're going to have the Hardys go for the IWGP tag team titles?
I think that would be cool. It'd be a good feather in their cap if they could do it too. I think FTR and Hardy Boys should both go after it because it's one of the things that's eluded them.
So a triple threat.
I think that would be kind of cool. I think that would be a good one. Cause I mean, that's an accolade that has eluded both of them. Yep. So I would like for them both to have a shot at it. Yeah.
Interesting. And what do you think for some of the guys, like say, you know, Okada, Ospreay, some of the bigger singles guys, do you think they're going to throw like a Moxley in there? Maybe a Daniel, I was going to say Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. Like who do you think gets those big, top level guys for New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Oh man. Okada will get whoever he wants. They would ask Okada, who do you want? And he'd get him. It's pretty much his choice there. I think Tanahashi's sort of in the same boat too. Whoever he wants will be there. I don't think Naito will be able to do it. He's got to have surgery or something. I don't know how long he's out. But Mox and Tanahashi makes a lot of sense to me, but for Okada, it's whoever the hell he wants that. Cause I mean,
watch him say Sting.
And hey, you know what? If he wants Sting, you give the man Sting. And people will be pumped for it, too.
Yeah,
I don't want to see Sting taking a Rainmaker, though. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Okay, I don't know if you were able to get that screenshot that I asked you for off the air, but if not, it's okay. So we've long heard these stories about WWE confiscating signs at live events, right? We've long heard it. There'll be signs talking about, say, the competition or signs maybe shitting on the company, whatever. Yeah. On Raw last Monday, a fan posted on social media that his sign was confiscated. And it's a head scratcher because I don't see any issue with it. Do you have a screenshot of it by chance?
I don't, but I mean, there were some people there that said that it was obstructing the view of some people behind him.
Was that the reason?
That's what some people there said.
Okay. Okay. So basically, if you didn't see it, it was basically a sign for Liv Morgan. It basically said Liv Morgan sold me the seed or something. Yeah. So it was nothing derogatory, you know, but if that's the reason, Liv Morgan, she's offered the fan tickets, which is nice of her. It shouldn't be her responsibility, sure. But it was nice of her. But if that's the reason, I don't know if this thing was like, you know, 5 feet across or something.
It was such a non thing that I was just like, who cares? If WWE wants to take people's signs, take their signs. I don't give a damn. It doesn't bother me.
I could see it being a thing.
It's not a right to take a sign to a show.
Like, I know that. Okay. I think that's all I got. Still got time, so I might as well talk about the Tyson Kidd thing.
Hold on. Chris Rain says, I really want Okada versus Punk in Chicago. That would be a good one. I would love that as well. Dragon Master says, hopefully United Empire can beat Chase and Fale at Dominion so we can have FTR versus a good tag team for the IWGP tag belts. If it's Chase and Fale, the AEW team got to win it. Even if it's just to give it right back, like, I don't care. Let them reach that accolade. I would be happy with that.
I look at Fale. You've heard Fale talk. You've interviewed him, right?
I've interviewed him, yeah.
Mark Hunt. He's like a Mark Hunt.
Well,
like,
from the same area.
No, I know that, but I see Mark Hunt in that guy whenever I see him.
Sure, you know? Sure. The Tyson Kidd thing. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we got the WoW stuff to talk about, but let's talk about Tyson
Kidd. You know what? That's, I didn't know if you wanted to do that on the live podcast.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Go ahead.
I'm hearing some wild stuff. The way that I found out was even more wild. It was a completely anonymous email that was like, look into this. And I mean like a very weird anonymous email that's like, look into this. And I started. And WoW's got some weird stuff. They got NDAs that you got to sign to even like discuss working with them. There are a lot of women that are in WoW that seem to think that Tessa and David McLean and Jeannie Buss and WoW are more powerful in wrestling than they really are. And they're afraid of the talk for fear of backlash. Talent that I've spoken to that are willing to speak, and it's all on the condition of anonymity, have told me that there's been a falling out between Tessa and WoW. However, and this is just me spitballing, I would not put it past Tessa and WoW to like orchestrate such a rumor at all, especially Tessa. She's off social media. I had one person say, if you want to watch Tessa work, you better learn Spanish. Like implying that she's heading to Mexico. Tapings are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we're going to know. People are saying Alex Gracia left months ago. She ain't there anymore. So she wouldn't know. A lot of things are kept very close. We have a full story on FightfulSelect.com about this. I encourage you guys to subscribe, support our coverage of pro wrestling there. There were some people that had implied that like that this as a rehabilitation project for Tessa, that things didn't really change that much. I know there were people that claimed that she had almost bullied them out of wrestling that have come back to WoW. There are a lot of people that were holdovers from the previous WoW that are no longer there. There has been a huge shift in the plans for WoW that were in effect like a year ago, maybe even 8, 9, 10 months ago, that have changed significantly. And I'm going to be telling you guys about a lot of people that they reached out to that said no, and a lot of shifts in their mentality and approach on FightfulSelect.com. I mean, there's a lot of really talented people involved. And yeah, I'll anything with Tessa, my line of thinking, Jimmy, is I'll believe it when I see it. Fallout, I'll believe it when I see it. Somebody that did used to be there, they were under the impression that she had been let go. I'll believe it when I see it. The right hand, left hand of this is so off. Ryan says, as someone who knows talent, who's been in locker rooms with Tessa, she's a lot more toxic than people realize. The stories I've heard. I mean, and again, WoW's Twitter is out there tweeting stuff of her today. But also, I had somebody say, but they're tweeting stuff about her. they're tweeting stuff about Barbie Hayden. Barbie Hayden left wrestling 3 years ago. The right hand, left hand, they're using content from like 3.5, 4 years ago on their social media, which fortunately, you know, they keep up to date and all that. But I, like that, for example, I'm looking at their Twitter. They posted a picture of Azteca, who is Giselle Shaw. She signed with Impact now. She ain't there. Like, that's just, or 2 days ago, they posted more Tessa stuff. Jungle Girl. Jungle Girl and Santana Garrett are not there anymore. Jungle Girl is battling cancer, for the love of God. It's outdated content, so there's a lot of right-hand, left-hand stuff with their social media. I have never quite understood it, but Joel Wood says she could be the biggest, should have been the biggest female star in the world, but can't get it out of her own way. It's disappointing to me. She is WrestleMania main event level talent. I'm not going to say in the ring, anything besides that, talent, but all that other stuff. And that they wanted her to apologize. She didn't do it. She wouldn't do it. That was it.
The tapings this week, are those the first tapings of their big return?
Yes.
What's their distribution? Is it like Fight TV or something?
No, it is something. There's some syndication aspect, and there is a Viacom, CBS, Paramount, some sort of aspect to it. I just don't know what that is yet. It has been insinuated to me, maybe Paramount Plus, but it has not been outright told to me. But there's also syndication level stuff. Yeah.
I mean, the timing sure does seem suspect, right? When you get this anonymous email the week of their taping.
3 weeks ago.
Oh, 3 weeks ago.
I've been trying to hunt this info down for 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. I see.
I've heard there may be some legal aspects to this as well. I know there are some legal aspects to just WOW right now, because there have been people in and out and people that help them get deals that are in and out. But
is April, AJ Lee, is she still involved?
This week, we'll answer a lot of questions. If Tessa is there and smiling and happy,
right.
Well, I think that some talent was either fed bad or hopeful info. When it comes down to that, I'm always suspicious. I'll believe it when I see it. If she ain't at the tapings this weekend, there are more questions to be asked. If there are, if she is, I don't know how good that information that the talent got was, but I can't tell you the number of people that I've reached out to and said, "Hey, you work for WOW, right?" And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, "Hey, can you tell me anything about this Tessa thing?" And it's either complete silence, or I don't feel comfortable talking about that, or I'm fearful talking about that, or I've got an NDA, I can't talk about that. There you go.
It kind of reminds me of John Jones in that way, you know. John Jones, the greatest of all time, and what's it been 3 years of his prime that he's lost?
She had the potential to be, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Never reached that.
Sure, but her prime, she was the Impact champion. You know what I mean?
Yes.
She was a women's wrestler holding the men's title. She was so hot, and it felt like there was going to be a bidding war between AEW and WWE for her, and then shit just went to hell.
Didn't do business on her way out of Impact. ROH is now owned by Tony Khan. MLW ain't gonna work with her.
Yeah,
there is nothing. This was it. This was it. And we've seen that with other women especially women, but men too. But there are especially two women that were labeled as toxic, and people said, just give them another shot. And then they got that shot and they blew their last shot, their last shots. And
I mean,
ROH going away is a big one.
I think Vince has a reputation. If Vince thinks he can make money on her, he'd bring her in, I think. But then, you know, it doesn't even know who the hell she is.
I was told a pretty specific reason that I'll reveal it on FightfulSelect.com in the coming weeks. How about that? About why one of the reasons I was told WWE didn't bring her in. But yeah. Somebody says WOW reruns in the Pluto. Everything WOW is like 3 or 4 years ago. Everything. But guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. This week I have interviews with Persia Perota, Moose, and Deonna Purrazzo. today I have news on WOW, and I've got news on an Impact wrestler who says they were going to leave for WWE until Impact re-signed them. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to do an Ozark review over there, myself and Rob Wilkins. Because
I've got things to say. I haven't seen it yet.
It's a great show, but I got things to say. Please check it out, guys. Check out Fightful Overbooked, Fightful on Twitch, all over the place. Until next time, guys, we are out. List goes on Fightful Select.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.